Chapter 1. Chapter 1, inshallah. Remember what Imam Ibn Hazm said? If you remember what Imam Ibn Hazm said about love, love actually starts with jesting, which means just like a joke, and it becomes something earnest, serious. So don't try to tamper with love. Because if you start, you know, joking about it, it might become serious and it becomes very, very painful. So you need to be careful with that. Now let's see, inshallah ta'ala, what is the meaning of jesting about love. It's an introduction, inshallah, to the topic itself. And I believe it's very essential for us to define those terms actually of love, love in Islam, inshallah. And we'll be discussing those three major topics, Islam and love. Number two, falling in love. And inshallah, a real story of love. So, we start with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And among his signs is this, that he created for you mates from amongst yourselves, that you may dwell in tranquility with them. And he has put love and mercy between your hearts. Verily in that are signs for those who reflect. In the translation, they use the word love. The Arabic language, the Quran says mawadda. And if you read the tafsir, tafsir Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, tafsir al-Qurtubi, tafsir al-Tabari, they all mention the word love, hub, also mahabba. The word mahabba for love also as another again word for mawadda. So, inshallah ta'ala, in this chapter, we shall cover this aspect, which is love in three different levels. Islam and love, falling in love, and a story of real love. What does Islam say about love? Probably what you have is, verily, I was filled with love. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith about Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, his wife. He said, "Inni ruziqtu hubbaha," that verily I was blessed with love for her. I believe the copy that you have says filled with love for her. Is that correct? Okay. It is actually blessed with love for her. And in some translations, depending on how you interpret the word ruziqtu hubbaha, some they translate that as I was blessed with her love. And here it says, with love for her, and I believe this is the more accurate translation for the hadith, إِنِّي رُزِقْتُ حُبَّهَا, that the Prophet ﷺ was blessed with her love. He loved her so much, Muhammad ﷺ. So, what is love? What is love? Now we come to the word love. Love in the Arabic language, we say, حُب. حُب. The amazing thing about the Arabic language, different from other languages, is actually the Arabic language, you can read the meanings from the pronunciation itself. Means the Arabic language, it carries the meanings in the alphabet itself. And even they say that when you study Arabic language, and they teach you, even that sometimes, you know, the characteristic of the alphabet, the Arabic language, gives different meanings. Like, for example, I remember that I gave this example before. The word, the letter sheen, sheen, it gives you the meaning of spreading out. And that's why any word in the Arabic language that has the letter sheen has that sense of spreading out. Like for example, shams, shams. Shams spreads out what? Light. You see when the sun starts coming out? Shams. Same thing, shu'a, ray. And the ray, but so quick, it spreads out quickly. Same thing with a word like hub. Hub. See how the pronunciation is? Starts with ha and then ba. Letter ha has that side. Just like being in love. If you see someone in love, and of course he remembers his beloved one, for example, if someone remembers his wife, or the lady, she remembers her husband who's away and so on, she says, that sound is a sign of love. And it ends with what? With letter ba. And the letter ba, the pronunciation of ba, we say, hub, hub. And that's when you bring your lips together. pretending to be what? Doing what? A kiss. So that's why they say the word hub carries its meaning. Means those, of course, those passions and the heat of that breath comes out in a preparation, of course, to implementation of that love. That's what the ulama say when they interpret the word love. Hub. I don't know if you can do that in English. If you say love, what does that mean? Love. I mean, come on. Someone's biting on his lips that love had different meanings. If you open dictionaries in English language right now, as a noun and as a verb. So as a noun, you find love comes as a strong positive emotion of regard and affection. That's one of the interpretation, and you can find that in different dictionaries. Love can be a passion. As a noun, they say love is a passion. So any object of warm affection or devotion. Love means the beloved person himself. So when you say love, it's my love. When someone says, this is my love, he's talking about an individual. And that's whether it's, of course, the spouse, a man or a woman. Also, love can be used as a noun for that deep feeling of sexual desire. It also can be used that in English language. And there are other meanings for the word love, not probably related to this topic. Like, for example, love is a score of zero in tennis or squash. Just an example. And probably in marital life. It can be. As a verb, love has a great affection of liking. That can be used like that. By saying, for example, I love this kind of food. So you're just expressing, of course, your desire and your likeness for a certain thing. Love can mean also to enjoy. So, for example, I love cooking, for example. And love also has the meaning of intercourse in English language. Has different, again, meanings. But we can summarize all of this by saying that love is a feeling of intense affection. Love is a feeling of intense affection given freely and without reservation or restriction. So it's a feeling of intense affection given freely and without restriction. Because when you love someone, what happens to you? You give. I mean, someone, even if a person is stingy, if he falls in love, he gives everything. Completely. Even, for example, if his beloved one would say, I want this. And it just grows, let's say, in South Africa. He would take the first plane probably to South Africa to go and get it for her. Why? Because he's in love. And there are, of course, also proofs. We can bring that, inshallah, ta'ala, later on when we speak about the sunnah of Rasulullah and his companions. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he said, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ النِّسَاءِ. It was adorned to him. He's made beloved for him in this dunya, of this life, and nisa, women. And you can tell from his lifestyle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he was in Mecca, he married only Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. But when she died, as a messenger of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for him to take more than one wife by making this adorn to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if it was left for him, he would just stay with Khadija. And even he would just maintain that love, that passionate love to her, even after her death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But marrying more than one was for different reasons, legitimate reasons and legislative reasons. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for him by this. حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ. It was adorned to him. Means naturally the Prophet ﷺ didn't have that inclination, except that the Prophet ﷺ, Allah made it for him to make it easy, of course. Because if it was for the Prophet ﷺ, he would devote his life to what? To worship. But Allah Azza wa Jal is making him an example for mankind, and definitely part of this is his lifestyle as a husband and a family man. The nature of love. Throughout history, and honestly, I wanted to bring some examples from the past and philosophical interpretation for love and so on. But I thought that you can do a better job. If you go to the library, inshallah, and just try to search the concept of love throughout history, you will find a lot of interpretations coming from Platon, from other philosophers to speak about love. Some of them, they interpret love as a spiritual experience. Some, they say, like, for example, Socrates says about love that it's a great genie. Just like a big genie, And he's living among the gods. And he's taking control of the hearts of those people. So it's something like, you know, they have different interpretations for that. As Muslim, of course, we don't believe in that. Because we believe it's just a human passion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this part of our human nature. But what I want to talk about is what our ulama mentioned. One of those aspects of love that they talk about is the romantic love. Sayyid Fadl ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi brings this in his book, Tawq al-Hamama. Other ulama, like Ibn Qayyim also, spoke about that romantic love. And when I say romantic love, they talk about that painful aspect or part of love. That's what they mean by romantic love. Romantic love usually does not end with a beautiful end. Just, you know, for you to know. If you want to go through this path, you're going to have to suffer a lot. So they say that romantic love does not end with a beautiful end. It always ends with pains, because that's what the lovers like to, and enjoy to experience from this love. So Ibn Hazm rahmatullah, even actually another book that I brought with me here, one of those early books also, that was written during that same time when Imam Ibn Hazm rahmatullah wrote his book. It's called Al-Masoon Fi Sir Al-Hawa Al-Maknoon, which means it's actually like the protection or the protected book revealing the secret of Al-Hawa, which means that concealed love. So he's revealing the concealed love to you, and he speaks about romantic love. This is how people, they commit suicide, they die, they suffer a lot, only because they are in love. So they speak about that in romantic love. Also, they talk about the moral love. Moral love, which is sacrificial love. And this moral love, it's more rational, and it's more intellectual love. And in many cases, those who experience this kind of love are religious people, and intellectuals, and philosophers. And that is probably one of the aspects of love that many of the ulama of at-Tazkiyah, like for example Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, and other probably Sufi scholars, when they talk about love, they speak about this kind of love. To love Allah Azza wa Jal, I love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on. From those who spoke about love, give you names, Al-Jahid. Al-Jahid. He even wrote about it before Ibn Hazm himself. Because he lived before Ibn Hazm, Al-Jahid. He had two books. One book called Kitab al-Nisa, the book of women. And for Al-Jahid, he considers love as a sickness. And he says that people should avoid or resist falling in love passionately, because it will rob their mental ability to recognize right and wrong. So he said it enslaves people. And that's why people, they should resist falling in love in that way. Of course, we don't agree with that, but that's his interpretation to it. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, in his book Adab al-Nikah, The Etiquette of al-Nikah, he also spoke about that. And he criticized those people who get overwhelmed with those passions, that even it takes part of their rationale when they fall in love. So he says that this also enslaves people, but not to the extent that Al-Jahad took in his book Kitab al-Nisa. He considered this, of course, something legitimate, and it's lawful, halal, and so on, but he criticized those people who get overwhelmed and exaggerate. What is the theory of the Muslim scholars? The theory, from the different books, talking about classical books, one of those popular classical books written by Muhammad ibn Dawood al-Zahiri. Muhammad ibn Dawood al-Zahiri. He is the son of the founder of al-Zahiri Madhab. And he also was Zahiri too. His book, considered probably the first book, the first classical book that we know. It is also available. I don't have an access to it, unfortunately, to bring you quotations from it. But Muhammad ibn Dawood al-Bahiri, his book is called Kitab al-Zuhra. Kitab al-Zuhra fi akhbar bani Udra. Al-Zuhra, just like saying, you know, just the flower or something like that, bringing the news of the tribe of Banu Udra. Banu Udra in the Arabic literature are very well known for their noble love. they used to express their love passionately in their poetry and became very popular among Arab tribes that Banu Udra are the most passionate people when it comes to love. So they were very soft, very sincere, to the extent that sometimes they die because of this. So they get sick and they die, simply. And he brings many, many stories. So he himself, he made like a survey and a research on Banu Udra from their poetry, from their lifestyle, from their stories and so on. And he came up with 100 characteristics of the noble love. Just 100 characteristics for this noble love, taken only from the tribe of Banu Udra. Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayh, the same thing, and we spoke about his book. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah, Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he also wrote about the theory of love in his book Dhammul Hawa. And Dhammul Hawa, just like saying, criticizing animal, that excessive love. He also spoke about that. Ibn al-Qayyim, in his book Rawdatul Muhibbin, The Garden of the Lovers, one of the most comprehensive books, by the way. I didn't bring it with me. The most comprehensive books, just like Encyclopedia on Love, by the way. That's the book of Ibn Qayyim, rahmatullah. It's available in Arabic, unfortunately, not yet translated into English. Now, the main characteristic that they all speak about is that the theory of love is all about similarity and likeness. All of them, they agree on that. It's about similarity in characteristics and likeness. Means they have to share common ground, common characteristics in order to fall in love. So he's telling you, basically they are telling us, that if someone would like to fall in love, he should find someone this person should have the same probably qualities and characteristics, as much as possible. Can you find that perfect person? Still though, they say, nothing is perfect. Because perfection in this life is a relative issue. So it's something that you cannot really pursue fully, but you have to compromise. However, the more similarities you find in that prospective spouse, the better the relationship will become and be. So don't just get attracted by the superficial image of the person or the individual. Whether it's a physical image or even a moral image. You have to know what is in there. What do they have in their hearts, in their minds? So you have to come together to understand each other and see, of course, how those people think, what do they have in mind, their goals and so on. And based on the similarities that you have, you'll definitely, inshallah, to build this passionate love in the future. However, no guarantee. Because you will never know that spouse until you get married. And then it's going to take some time to know if you did the right choice or not, and you will have a choice in continuing by improving yourself or simply just end this relationship. And we will talk about it, inshallah ta'ala. It was said one time that one child, he asked his father, he said, "Dad, I heard that the people in North Africa, they don't know their wives until they get married." His father said, "Well, that happens in every country, son." Which means even if you knew her for 5, 10 years and so on, of course, we're talking about the non-Islamic way of knowing each other. So there would be basically like a boyfriend and a girlfriend for years. Even for five years, 6 years, 10 years. And then when they decide to get married, because they have already 3 or 4 children probably. Then after they get married, 6 months, year or less probably, they decide, no, it was a wrong decision. So they get divorced. But for the Muslim scholars, they all decide and they all agree that really what brings love, those common grounds that you share together. And that's inshallah ta'ala. For those who are already married, try to find what exactly you both share together so you can improve that inshallah ta'ala. And if you see something that it's opposite, try to work it out in a way that does not contradict with this love inshallah. Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi adds to this that he said that also opposite attracts. That's a rule. And Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, he says that sometimes that those characteristics can go, of course, so wild that they would become completely opposite to the extent that at the end they would look similar. Like what? He said, if you grab in your hand a piece of ice, tomorrow we're going to have snow. Is that right? or after tomorrow. Just try to grab an ice, piece of ice in your hand, and he said just to grab it and press it. What happens to your hand? Gives the effect of fire. That's what he says. Same thing, he says that excessive grief and excessive joy can kill equally. Same thing, people might, out of excessive laughter and excessive, of course, sorrow and sadness, do what? Cry. Have you seen somebody, you know, crying out of happiness? Aisha, she saw her father, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. When she said, or Asma bint Abu Bakr, actually, she said, I heard that people, they would cry out of joy and happiness, but I have never believed in that until I saw my father crying out of happiness, being the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hijrah. She said, she saw Abu Bakr as-Siddiq crying literally. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you're going to be my companion in hijrah. So again, that as I said, Imam Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi's theory that opposite attracts because they can give the same effect. So he would say that sometimes you see that those people who are completely in love and that passionate love would differ on issues that don't make sense simply because they want to test the love of each other. So she would say no, just to test how sincere and how serious the husband is in his love. Same thing, the husband might say no, how am I going to do that or whatever, just simply to test how obedient she would be and how she would be, for example, in love with him and so on. Try to at least to, you know, get his attention and the satisfaction, whatever. And even Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi, he brings that what exactly builds love. There are different degrees which we gonna talk about inshallah ta'ala, but because they're mentioned in Arabic language, I tried actually my best to find translations for those words. It didn't work. Because Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi counted for the degrees of love more than 60 degrees and names in his book, Rawat al-Muhibbin. 60. Where can I find that in English dictionary? So if you go and you look at the English dictionary, you find just almost the same word for the same, for different words. So you go and look, for example, for tatayyum, which says admiration. And then you go for example, irjab, admiration again. And then we'll go another, a third word in Arabic language. Find the same English word for it. Said. So, with 60 names that he gave, and 6 categories of love, you end up with about probably 6-10 English words. That is all. Because they don't have enough words to cover the different aspects of love. And in the Arabic language, it's different. When we have different names for the same item, for the same thing, the same principle, it's because they look at it from different angles. So, when they speak about love, as for example being hub, it's because of the general name of it. When they say ishq, enamor, it's because of what it leads to. When they say tatayyum, it means person will be passionately in love. And when they talk about different names actually and categories for love, but as Imam Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah describes in his book, it always starts gradually, and the first thing that might fire that love would be a simple look. So he says that what fires this love, he says number one, picturing. Means the eye. And Ibn Hazm rahmatullah also confirms that. He says, because the eye is the gateway for the heart. By seeing, your heart get attracted and attached. So Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, he says that when I say picturing, it's not necessarily seeing by the eye. It can also be seeing by what? Your mind, picturing it in your mind. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid the women from describing other women in front of their husbands. Why? Because men are visual spatial. They easily can picture things in three dimensions immediately. So when a lady speaks to a man about another lady, he naturally and automatically he starts picturing, giving a three-dimensional picture for that lady. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, don't describe her to your spouse. Same thing. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, he says that a person can get attracted through the eye, of course, or that mental image. And that's, of course, it's by picturing this person. And even sometimes can be imaginary picture. And that's what Imam Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi brings in his book, Talq al-Hamama. He says some of those aspects of love, he says himself, it's silly. Silly that a person sometimes, he brought a story about a man who fell in love in an image that he saw in his dream. And he said, this image cannot become physical. It cannot be real. It's just something that he saw in his dream, and he fell in love in that, with that image. And he kept talking about it, bringing in opportunities, and he started looking for it in reality. It will never happen. Why? Because it was only a dream, an image that he saw in his dream, and now he's picturing this three dimensions, so he's trying, of course, to fall in love with that imaginary thing. And I know so many people have that same thing too. Not necessarily in dreams, but while they're still awake, they always imagine that beloved person to come. For men, they're imagining that perfect, beautiful lady, and then for those women, the same thing, they were imagining that perfect, handsome, this and that guy. So they always have that imaginary image for that person. Number two, he says, after, of course, getting attacked by picturing the person, he says, it goes to admiration. You start looking at this picture from different ways, different directions. In your mind, still it's in your mind, probably. And that's why he says, it's only probably one look. Then because of this, the person gets, you know, attracted. There's admiration for that image. He says, oh, this is, must be perfect. And that will lead to obsession. He says, it then leads to obsession. Because now when you see this image and you think that this image physically perfect, it must be perfect in all its aspects. So he gets obsessed. And that's why Ibn Hazm rahmatullah says that sometimes you come to a beloved person and try to convince them about some of the inferior aspects or characteristics of their beloved ones, and they refuse completely even to listen to you. Why? Because when those people are in love, that's it. For them, that person is perfect. It means whatever you say, no. I know about all these things, but not in this person. Not with my beloved one. Not with my, for example, my wife. Not with my husband. I know he's different, she's different. That's how people think when they fall in love. And then, of course, he said after that, when they get obsessed, they try to think seriously and passionately about establishing commitment. And that commitment can be in a lawful way or unlawful way. And then you will have choice in that. Okay. So from the categories of love that the ulama, they speak about the natural love and the religious love. When we say natural love, it's the love that we have for passions, for objects. Some people, they love, for example, they love their cars. And I remember I was living in an apartment complex, and I had a neighbor, subhanAllah, he was single. And he loved his car so much. Wallahi, akhwan, the whole weekend, Saturdays and Sundays, he spends, I come back from Fajr time, he would be already out, working on his car. Cleaning it, waxing the car, and of course the music would be on. And this guy, I go back out for Salatul Dhuhr, and he's still working on the car. So man, if it was, subhanAllah, 16 or 18 wheels, we would finish by that time. But this guy, he's just working his car all the time. And I had that conversation with him, and he loves it. He loves the car. He says, I love it. I mean, he says, he always tried to make sure that it's perfect, no scratches, nothing is dirty, no stains, nothing at all. And that's why when he drives it, when he goes back, he starts looking, going around it to see if it's still clean. If not, he would go back again, try to clean it up. So some people, they have those passions for objects. And of course, people, they will have those passions also to people that they love. Also, the ulama, they talk about that religious love, which we have already explained to you, and that's more intellectual and rational love. The love that we'll be discussing, inshallah ta'ala, in this seminar, is the love to the spouse, the real human passion, to the legitimate mate, inshallah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. It was adorned for people, the love of الشَّهَوَاتِ. And الشَّهَوَاتِ, desires. مِنَ النِّسَى, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with, women. As you see, this ayah is talking to men, that men are attracted to women. Why didn't say men? الرِّجَال, for women, of course, to love men. Because naturally, how men view love is different than women. And we will talk about it, inshallah, and that will explain to you why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this as shahwa. For men, as you see, they view love in most cases as a desire. Shahwa. So that's why, for men, when they go and they start hanging out with women, they're obsessed by the idea of getting to the end of this relationship. Means what is it? It's basically the desire. But for women, when it comes to love, it's not necessarily about desire. The last thing women think about it is the actual sexual desire. Men, the first thing that they think about it would be that thing. And that's something natural. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah spoke about the desires here, He said women, didn't say men. Because if you say Zuyyina al-Nisa'i, that it was adorned for women, the love of men, it's different. Because they love them for their qualities, for being passionate, for being merciful, for being kind, nice, and so on and so. And of course, at the end, would be the sexual pleasure. And inshallah, the differences we're gonna be covered probably inshallah ta'ala, if not Sunday, then next week. Our ulama, they spoke about the relationship between love and ubudiyyah, slavery, or enslavement to love. Some people, they get obsessed by love, that they would become enslaved by the person they love, or by that relationship. And they all criticize that. All of them. They all criticize that. Some, if you remember, Al-Jahar, he completely forbids that, and he thinks that this is immoral, and it's actually irrational. Al-Ghazali, he also spoke about that, criticizing it, of course, to bring balance to that relationship. Ibn Qayyim, rahmatullah alayhi, in his book, Rawat al-Muhibbin, he spoke about that thoroughly. And he brought the dangers of love. One, of course, of the dangers of love is a person might be enslaved for the person that he loves, or at least for that relationship. So if someone is in love and the person that he loves does not give back, they might compromise everything, including their religion, just to gain the love of that person. Signs of love will be, inshallah ta'ala, the first thing that we discuss tomorrow, bi'idhnillahi azza wa jalla. Before we close, I want to see if you have guys any questions. Okay, if you have any questions, please. Any questions? Yes, brother, in the back. Yes. Alaykum as-salam. I'm not saying that men, the brother is asking about, you know, the difference between men and women, how they view love. More on that, inshallah, is going to come later. But does it mean that men do not really think about qualities? Yes, they do. I'm not saying they don't. But when you see the priorities, it will be different. Women, they have the same way of thinking. Also, and men, they have the same way of thinking, but when you put priorities, they are totally different. Wallahu a'lam. Especially between a husband and wife, of course. We will come to that, inshallah ta'ala, later. Sisters, any question? Brothers, this section? Sisters? Yes. Risalat al-Nisa, or Kitab al-Nisa, or Risalat al-Qiyan. Risalat al-Qiyan. Qiyan means the female singers. Brothers, Risalat al-Qiyan. Sisters, yes. Yes. If there is a reason for that description, if a person, for example, is interested in marriage, and let's say he sends his sister or his mom to go and let's say investigate, and then they come back with a description. In this case, it's okay. There is nothing wrong with that because the man is interested in marriage, so they can describe. But just for example, one sister, let's say, and I know for that for sure that the sister would go for, let's say, private parties, and I know that some sisters also they go to even private swimming pool parties, something like that, and they come back again. And they sit with their brothers, probably with their fathers, with their parents, and so on. And they freely start talking about each other. Oh, did you see her? Probably you should be talking to her sister about another lady when someone else is watching or listening. Now, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids. That we describe another lady for no legitimate reason. It's just that he's speaking about her beauty. But if talking about her being a religious person, she's mashallah very smart, and so on, that's okay. The thing that is forbidden here is specifically the physical beauty. Wallah, no description. Brothers, coming back here. Yes. Now, the brothers ask about the common grounds that we should base our love probably on. Is that correct? I mean, what should that be? Shouldn't be the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His religion, faith, and so on? I would say yes. This is part of it. But what if she's not very much interested in da'wah? I mean, she prays. She has her own way of, for example, loving her faith and deen and so on. I'm not saying that stuff for Allah, she's doing something haram or illegal and so on. But she does not have the same passions, let's say, to da'wah.
Then do you have to force her to pull her to da'wah in order to make her, mashallah, perfect for you? You cannot force another person to change, but you can persuade and you can choose yourself to accept, to tolerate, or even improve, or have the other person, of course, gradually improve. But definitely, the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that lasts forever. Any other kind of loves, when the motive is gone, that love is gone too. Wallah, sisters. Yes. What's wrong with it? Yes. What's wrong with it? His theory? Yeah, he believes that it's like a huge or a great spirit that resides among the gods, and it takes control of those love and the lovers and so on. It's also refuted by other scholars of his time, philosophers of his time. But I'm just bringing this as an example, a basic example for different theories in love, not the theme of our discussion over here. I want to make this as your homework. If you would like to see how others view love, just go ahead and search it, inshallah. You will find different philosophers have different views for it. Wallah. And I guess I'll end up with this question, inshallah. See, brothers, if they have any question on this side. Go ahead. Why did the Prophet ﷺ remarry after Khadija? We have a whole chapter, inshallah, that comes next week. Inshallah ta'ala. About the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu ta'alam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira thumma amma ba'd. Before we continue, just quick question, inshallah, to fresh your minds and your throats. Who can explain to us, briefly, the theory of love according to Muslim scholars? The theory of love according to Muslim scholars. Can you explain that? Go ahead. Yes. Elaborate. Don't look. Okay. When you say similarity, say how do you explain that? Okay. What else? How about if they have opposite ideas, opposite views? How can you explain that? Don't look. Keep looking straight. Okay. It's not all the time. Inshallah ta'ala. You can also elaborate on that, inshallah ta'ala, but just go and review the words of Imam bin Hazm, Imam bin Qayyim, rahmatullah alayh. We said that the Muslim scholars, they say that the theory of love is based on similarity and likeness. It means the more you share, the more common characteristics that you share, the better and probably you will have a quality time and of course love between both of you. So you need to, of course, to work on those common grounds and try to elaborate on that and try to work this out with your spouse in order, inshallah ta'ala, to have a better family life. Jazakallah khair. Now the signs of love. The signs of love. Imam al-Hazm rahmatullah alayhi says that love has certain signs which anybody can recognize. Regardless of the level of intelligence, you will easily recognize a person who is in love. And he brings example, he brings the signs that he would recognize, would see actually in people. Number one, he says, the brooding gaze, means the eyes would be wide open and the person would be staring, probably straight in the sky, in the walls, anywhere. Or even if somebody is opening actually a book and just staring there in that book, you definitely would show that this person is thinking about something else. So he says that this is a very obvious sign for love. Because the eye is the wide gateway of the soul. And Imam al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi also mentioned that love usually fires up by a look, a single look. So the eye starts love. Number two, he said the love or the lover will direct his conversation to the one he loves. So for example, if husband and wife are staying together and when they talk and they are in real love, how would that look like? In reality, probably it's different. For example, instead of actually, they love each other when they talk, they have together a cup of coffee and they're talking and they're in love, they'll be looking at each other. Basically, their eyes directed to each other and they would be talking and enjoying this, their time. Especially if they were newlywed, of course. Then, a few years after that, you'll see that, you know, while they're talking, the husband working on the laptop and the wife is talking from the kitchen. And they won't have that probably same conversation they used to have in the past. But he says that when you see people doing that, talking to each other that way, it means they are really in love. He also says that that one of the signs of love is that when your beloved one is talking, you will be listening to him or to her. And that's, of course, for the brothers and sisters, that when your spouse starts talking to you, you need to pay attention. And I'm saying pay attention, seriously, to show that, of course, you love the person and you give them your full attention. And he said that one of those signs also is that you would marvel and you will enjoy every single word that they say. And everything, even who was nonsense, you basically would say, wow, this is beautiful. Oh, this is great. Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Ibn Hazm also said that from the signs of love is that the lover would hurry to the spot where his beloved one would be staying or waiting. For instance, again, when people, they get married, the moment, let's say, the husband comes back from work, and when he enters the house, he would be calling for his wife, and he would rush to her, wherever she would be, for example, whether in the kitchen or in the living room or here or there, he was just calling for her. And of course, Ibn Hazm rahmatullah also says that they would rarely or scarcely use names, because they would start calling each other with different names, of course. Whether they use what we call it in the Arabic language at-tarkhim, like nicknames, for example, you know, shorten the names with beautiful names, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would call Aisha, would call her Aish, just to make it short, and that of course shows kind of beautiful sound when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would call her. So they would call each other with different names. For example, if even sometimes some people, they would like to even to shorten name like Muhammad, and usually they say Moody, for example, for Muhammad. Even though it's the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they still, you know, would use those kind of titles. I know in for older generation, probably older people, when they call each other, they don't call each other with names. They call with nicknames, like for example, ya Muhammad, ya Abdullah, ya this and that, or Abu Umar, Abu Fulan, and they hardly can swallow, you know, calling each other with those beautiful names. So if you learn to do that, if you learn that there was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who used to call his wife Aisha, he used to call her Aish. So why not calling, for example, your wife Fatima and call her another name? Or same thing, Aisha, call her another name. Or Zainab, call her with another name. Same thing when you have Mustafa, for example. I don't know how they call you at home. But or for example, Muhammad or Ahmad, Isa, and so on. Also from the signs of love, Imam Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi says, the sudden confusion and excitement betrayed by the lover when he unexpectedly sees the one he loves coming upon him. For example, you see that if the wife is preparing a good meal for the husband and she hears, let's say, the car coming from outside, she would rush immediately to prepare everything for her, of course, for her husband, because she loves him so much. Same thing, the husband, if he was preparing something, like he was preparing a meal for his wife, and now she's coming from outside, he would do the same thing. I know it sounds weird for so many people, but that's one of the signs of love also. We're going to come and talk about it, inshallah ta'ala, later on. Service, that you also serve your wife, and the husband will save, the wife also will serve her husband. Also, he said that there are other outward signs of love, like abundant and exceeding cheerfulness. The person will feel that he's or she is flying. When they walk, they're flying, basically. Let's say, even if they saw their loved one for 5 minutes or just a few seconds, saying, Assalamu alaikum, or when they just leave home, they will feel so excited that they are in love, and they would be, instead of driving, they would basically be flying. Same thing when they come back from work. They're very happy because they're returning back home and they're going to meet the one that they love at home. So they also feel that kind of excitement. He said that they engage in a playful tug-of-war kind of thing. You know, for example, at home, especially again for married people, inshallah, newly wed, when they come at home and they would like to share a meal and they were eating at home. Now the husband wants to show that, you know, he's also so kind and he wants to serve his wife. So he helps her with the plates. They bring the food on the table, and after they're done from eating, he wants to go and help also with those plates. And she says, no, leave it, I'll take care of it. He says, no, I'll help you, inshallah ta'ala. No, just leave it, I'll take care of this. Don't worry about it. He says, no, I'll help with you. They start pulling those dishes, of course, on those plates, until just they break it. And even when they break it, she would feel sorry for it. I said, oh my God, I'm sorry. He would say, no, don't worry, inshallah, I'll get you another one. And if you wait probably 1 or 2 years after that, if the same thing happens, he will get upset. He said, so are you blind? So you can measure the level of love based on those incidents. Same thing also when they are at home. And this is one of the signs of love, is that they really have that exciting, actually playful, I would say, even games sometimes, and they would chase each other, they would run around each other. And the Prophet ﷺ had that same incident with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. It happened that the Prophet ﷺ actually, one time he was with Aisha at home, and she was raising her voice. Aisha, the wife of Rasulullah ﷺ, was raising her voice over the voice of Rasulullah ﷺ. Who heard that? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, her father. He overheard that in the masjid. So he came running to the house. And when she saw her father, she started escaping behind her husband, the Prophet ﷺ. She seeks protection. Now, seconds ago, she was fighting with him, and now she's hiding behind his back to protect herself from her father. So the Prophet ﷺ was defending her. He said, just leave it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. And when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he just calmed down, he left, and the Prophet ﷺ turns to Aisha, and she was still upset. He's trying to talk to her, and she escapes, and he goes after her. And then at the end, he told her, didn't you see me protecting you from the man? From your father? Then they start, of course, they're engaging in laughter and jokes and so on. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq overheard that. So he comes back again. He said, the way you put me in your action, in that battle, I want me to put you in your peace. So, of course, to show that enjoyment, that excitement. So if you are at home and you're with your spouse, it is okay that you have this kind of excitement and, of course, and playful acts. And that's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the signs of love also, and some of actually the most exciting signs of love that Imam Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi is talking about is those concealed signs of love. Let's say you have visitors at home and you have guests. So the guests are, let's say the men are in one room and the ladies in the other room. And now your wife is coming asking, of course, to give you the food or to give you the drinks. So when she brings the tea, why not, while you're grabbing the tea, and that's what Imam Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi is talking about, is that you share few signs of love. Like, for example, a smile, a whisper, a subtle touch, or even he says, even actually with the eyes, sending, of course, messages and signals from a distance. See, those beautiful, actually, signs can really fire love in the heart of the lovers. I'm not saying to do that in front of the guests, of course. Don't understand that. I'm saying that they don't see. It's just that, you know, she's bringing that the tea, and then when nobody's watching, you can, of course, express your feelings by doing so. From the signs of love also that Imam Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi talks about, a person, when they share the food, is that they exchange cups, probably exchange morsels or the meal and so on. Means feeding each other. And he says, that he brings an evidence for that. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to sometimes grab the piece of meat, and actually he would give it to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and then he would take that from her. Then he himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look where she exactly put her mouth, and he would eat from that that spot. Same thing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to grab the cup of water, or probably the milk, and he would hand it first to Aisha. So she would drink, then he would grab that cup back from her, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do, he used to take the cup, and while she's looking, and she's seeing, because she narrated the story, she said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn the cup around to the spot where she had her lips, and he would drink from that same exact spot. I know for so many people this is something, you know, it's, you know, the Prophet's doing that? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. But as I told you at the beginning of this class, we will learn that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi, is the solution for so many family problems, so many marital discord and so on. It just, if we follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger of God and as a human being and a family man. From the signs of love also that Imam Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi brings and speaks about, the appetite. Some people, when they're in love, they will have, mashallah, a very strong appetite. So they eat a lot. Why? Because they're very happy and excited. Especially if the food comes from the one that they love. And sometimes he said it's the opposite. That if they're in love and they feel the pain of love, they don't eat. So they just basically they would grab in the spoon or the fork and just digging into the food and eating nothing. And if you ask them, what's the matter? They say, nothing. And they're enjoying it. I'm not saying that they're not enjoying it. They're enjoying torturing themselves. Because this is one of the signs of romantic love that we discussed last night. So they will enjoy torturing themselves because this is for them is one of the sacrifices that they give for being in love. Sleeplessness, of course. They don't sleep because they're always dreaming about it. And even while they're sleeping, they would also be dreaming about their beloved one. Wasting of the body, losing weight. And I know people, wallahi akhwan, I know people, they lost about 20 to 22 pounds just because they're in love. I know someone by name, and I know him for sure, you know, that person. He lost more than 20, 22, probably 25 even pounds. He became almost a skeleton, actually. Why? Because he's in love. And the problem is that he cannot, because something, actually, there's a problem in their relationship, so it's not working very well, and that's why he just basically is wasting his body. From the signs of love that Imam bin Hazm rahmatullah speaks about also, is that the lover will love the kin and kith of the person that he or she loves. And that's why you see that sometimes, there are kind of biases between in-laws. So because the husband, he loves his wife so much, so probably he would love his in-laws more than his own family. And that, of course, creates a lot of problems in family. So the mother, she would feel that, you know, her son is betraying her for his wife. Why? Because now he's preferring her family over his. So when they buy gifts, when they visit for the Eid, for example, they start first with their house or their family instead of his family and so on. So that creates a lot of problems. But that shows you how much people, you know, when they fall in love, they can, you know, even prefer, as I said, the kin and kith of their beloved ones instead of their own families. Even friends, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spoke about Khadija radiallahu ta'ala in the hadith, as we said, إِنِّي رُزِقْتُ حُبَّهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the love for Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that after her death, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kept that love for Khadija by doing what? Maintaining good relationship with her friends. So when he received meat or gifts or anything, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would just, you know, take a share, and he would say, send this to this lady, because she was a good friend for Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a lady comes and she's a friend of Khadija, he would be cheerful to meet that lady because she was a good friend for Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arda. Weeping is a very well known for being in love, except that, as Imam bin Hazm rahmatullah alayhi says, men are, you know, they differ when it comes to this sign. Some of them, they're very soft and gentle, so they broke easily, actually, and they start weeping and crying. And he says, some other people, no, they have a dry eyes, but a very soft and tender heart. And Imam bin Hazm rahmatullah, when speaking about himself, he says, he is from the second, actually, group. Means that he said that I have a very dry eyes, even though that my heart is very soft. So he would be, basically, he would be crying and weeping from inside, but no signs coming out from his eyes. No. Any questions from the brothers, sisters? Okay, usually make the first session actually short, so we can give those who are outside, inshallah, a chance to come and also share the knowledge with us. So therefore, we're going to take 10 minutes break. This should be for the sisters, I believe. And I would request from the brothers, inshallah, to evacuate this area, and I'll come closer to that section outside. Huh? Huh? Let them out. I'll be outside, inshallah, ta'ala, and let just the brother stay here.